We'd like to welcome you again to Great Resolutions. My name is Marty Robert, and with me again today is Bill Lawson. Welcome, Bill.
It's a pleasure to be back, Marty.
Well, Bill, last few times we covered the life of Robert Morrison, and we mentioned that he lived in that time period which was known as the Great Century of Missions, which was the 19th century. And today we're going to continue. There's one very significant brother who followed about 40 years after Robert Morrison, and that is the brother who's very well known. His name is Hudson Taylor, and we'd like to cover him. He also continued in that line of missions, and I think we mentioned once before that these brothers really did a great work in bringing both the Lord's name and the gospel and the Bible into China, and this was really the beginning of the Lord's work in that great country.
When we talk about Hudson Taylor, his real name, of course, James Hudson Taylor, this stalwart believer in Christ was born in 1832, you know, there in England, in a place called Barnsley, Yorkshire. He passed away in 1905. And, of course, he's most famous for founding and directing one of the greatest missions at that time called the China Inland Mission. Even when he was saved about the age of 17, he had already had some kind of a calling or an inward inclination about China. And, of course, we'll get into that in the forthcoming broadcasts. But he set himself, committed himself to labor in China. In 1865, he founded that China Inland Mission. He went over there in 1866 for the first time to begin the work, not mainly on the seacoast. Most of the missions, you know, landed and did their work on the coastal areas of mainland China, but he was quite burdened for the millions who lived inland. So that's what he did. And then, of course, by the time of his death in 1905, you know, he had set up many, many different stations of work there, around 300, and his work was really quite marvelous. So with that in view, we really look forward to getting into this particular individual's life and work, how much he was used by the Lord. It's interesting, too, Marty, that like you say, that age of missions in the 19th century was quite useful to the Lord. Of course, we know today that the age of, in a sense, missions is over. The Lord had a particular use for those missions back in the 1800s. But we know Brother Watchman Nee was born in 1903. Brother Witness Lee, we know, was born in 1905.
Right.
So Witness Lee was born in 1905, the same year that Hudson Taylor, you know, passed away. So in a sense, it's like a transition there that the Lord, while the Lord was, his real work there at that time was to raise up the missions and the missionaries, yet I think we need to realize the whole purpose there was to gain a Watchman Nee and a Witness Lee. And I think we'll see this more as we get into this this matter.
That's true, Bill. And I think we mentioned at the end of last session that when we consider these biographies, we're not here just to exalt man, but we're exalting Christ and his work in all these chosen vessels. So as we begin today, I think one thing is very notable in the life of Hudson Taylor is to see how he was prepared, even from a very young age, and to become really a useful vessel to the Lord. And it's very similar to what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, that just showing Timothy that there was a need for cooperation with the Lord in order that one could become a useful vessel unto honor and sanctified, useful to the master and prepared unto every good work. So as we got into the life of Hudson Taylor, we see that both his living and his work really issued from a period of preparation. No doubt he really became a true man of God and a real servant of Christ, but his life and his work really issued from a source that goes way back. Even is interesting, Bill, when reading his biography, you find out that even when Hudson Taylor was in the womb of his mother, his parents had a time when they were just reading through the Word, and they came across a portion in the Word where, I think it was in Exodus and also in Numbers, where the Jehovah had declared that all the firstborn are mine. So when Hudson's parents were reading this, they were really impressed by this word, and they felt like they couldn't just leave this relegated to the Old Testament Hebrews, but they felt they should take this word in practicality to themselves. So the biography recounts how his parents just knelt down in prayer, and they wanted to set apart their coming newborn to the Lord. So they prayed and they consecrated their son. So even before Hudson Taylor was born, you could say the Lord was given, or he was given to the Lord, and he was consecrated to the Lord. That's how Hudson Taylor's life began. Of course, like you mentioned, he was born then on May 21st in 1832.
After, of course, his birth, Marty, the history tells us that he was raised with a very excellent character. His parents were quite godly, quite exercised to develop his character, and that was really quite useful to him at that time, and would bear much fruit in the later years of his life. He was raised with proper habits about doing particular tasks, not to live a life of ease or a kind of a pleasure. He was taught to be punctual, exercise self-control, and so on. And even the whole family would practice a daily time of Bible reading. And of course, they were led by their father to each have a half an hour daily alone with the Lord. So in a sense, that's like our holy word, you know, our morning watch time, where we should spend a particular time with the Lord every morning. In a sense, Hudson Taylor was in that kind of situation when he was young. Mm-hmm. So even from a young age, he loved to hear the mission stories. They intrigued him because his parents had many guests invited to their house, and of course Hudson would listen very carefully to the stories of the missionaries. And of course he learned early on about his father's burden for China, and of his dad's unhappiness that his dad's own denomination seemed just very indifferent to the need for evangelizing a great country like China. Mm-hmm. So from a very young age, he determined one day, amazing, huh, to go to China. So even it's recorded that when he was only 5 years of age, he said, "When I am a man, I mean to be a missionary, and I'm going to China." I mean, that's amazing. Five years of age. Of course, he didn't have much hope that his dream would be realized. You know, of course, he was a little bit lagging in his education. He was frequently ill. And even when he was 11 years of age, his attendance at school was often interrupted by his illness. So that he had quite an upbringing that prepared him for his later life in China.
That's really true. And I think this religious or kind of godly upbringing through his parents, we find out it began to wear on him a little bit. He became a little weary of keeping up an outward form, you could say, of piety without much inward reality himself. So at that point, he began to be a little bit easily influenced by some of his cynical friends at work. He used to work in a bank. And then he began to realize he inwardly had some unbelief, and he was a little bit rebellious. And generally, as a later teen, he was not really that happy. So, of course, his family members, they took note of this. They noticed he couldn't hide this from them, and especially his mother and his sister. They just intensified their prayers on his behalf. Wow. And I think we recorded this earlier in the Great Resolutions program, the second one on the matter of interceding. And I think we noted at that time that Hudson Taylor's sister, she kept a journal, and she made a vow that she would never cease praying until her brother would be brought into the light. So it was really through the prayers of his family members and the, you say, the Spirit, the convicting work of the Spirit began to really operate. And if you read his biography, of course, he came across some tracts, and it was through the expounding of the Word. So these three things really worked together. The prayers, the Spirit, and the Word really brought him into the light and brought him to the Lord. And at that time, he did really make a turn. And it, actually, from that time, he's always been impressed that the Lord is one who hears prayers.
Right.
So I think that his testimony of his mother and his sister had a great impact on him. So he learned even from the beginning of his salvation time that it was really not something that he did, but it was only through the Lord's work on his behalf that he could be brought into a real joy and rest in Christ. So this was his beginning as a new believer.
Right. This transpired, Marty, at the age of 17. He had such a dynamic experience. He consecrated himself, not only himself, he consecrated his family, he consecrated his friends, even consecrated his whole life upon the altar. And that, of course, led him to become active in Christian service. You know, he began to join with his sister to distribute gospel tracts. He really wanted to bring the word to others, and that they would have a full salvation. Not only was he did he want to be saved from the guilt of sin, but also from its power,
right,
in the enslavement of sin. I mean, not that many believers have that kind of experience. They just think, well, as long as my sins are forgiven, I'm not going to hell, and now I'm saved, and now I can do whatever I want. This was not what happened with Hudson Taylor.
Right.
He longed to be saved not only from the guilt of sin, but from the power of sin and the enslavement of sin. He wanted an unbroken fellowship, right, with the Lord.
Right.
He began to hate his deadness, his lack of hunger for the Word, and his prayer and so on. And then he was encouraged by reading Ezekiel 36:26, right? You know, Ezekiel talking about that we have received a new spirit and a new heart. He would cry out to the Lord, make a covenant with the Lord. He dealt with the Lord that if the Lord would break that power of sin and save him spirit, soul, and body, then Hudson would renounce everything, right, and be utterly at the Lord's disposal. So this is really quite something. Verses like Acts 26:16 really touched him, right? Where Paul said, to this end I have appeared unto thee to appoint you as a minister and a witness. Even his mother, it's recorded at this time, testified that from that hour he made up his mind, and he never wavered from that purpose.
Right. So once he made this covenant with the Lord, asking the Lord to break that power of sin and save him fully, then he felt like he wanted to give his all and answer the Lord's call to go to China. So
right.
at the age of 18, he began to really pray for the Lord's guidance and leading, and he also began to take some real steps in order that he could begin to learn really about all the mission work and the fields that the missionaries were in. And he began to find out that the mission work in China was mainly along the seaports. Of course, like we mentioned, this is only about 40 years since the time of the service of Robert Morrison, but by this time, many missionary societies had risen up, but Hudson Taylor realized that most of them were sticking along the coast, and he really had a burden right from the beginning that he wanted to go inland to reach many people who lived beyond the seaports. So, of course, he, like Robert Morrison, realized, well, the first step is that he needed to learn the Chinese language.
Yeah, right.
So he began, before he went over there, he began to study Chinese, along with, he was actually studying Greek and Hebrew and Latin at the same time. So we read in his biographies, he rose up very early in the morning to get going.
Right. Can you imagine Chinese, Greek, Hebrew, and Latin at the same time?
It's amazing. He was quite a diligent brother in giving himself to the learning and preparing of himself. And he even took some outward steps. He realized that if he would go to the mission field in China, that he would not be able to live in a comfortable way like he was in England. So he began to give up some of the comforts and begin to learn to live in a rougher environment. Well, at the same time, you know, he was hearing stories of other brothers who were actually over there in China prior to him. There was one man named Dr. Gutzlaff, and actually at the time Hudson Taylor heard of him, Gutzlaff was traveling throughout Europe and really inciting the believers to pray for the spreading of the kingdom in China. And so this really led, and I've heard this before, Bill, that many throughout England really gave themselves to a fervent prayer for this, for the gospel to go forth in China during that time. So Hudson, he just was preparing himself and reading all he could from these journals and the stories of what was happening on the mission fields. And I think this was really inspiring to him. Of course, later on, he found out that some of the stories he was hearing about Gutzlaff's followers were a little bit exaggerated and even falsified.
Wow.
So, of course, this did not deter him. He realized that Gutzlaff himself was really a pure brother and really had a true desire for the evangelization of China. In fact, later on, Hudson Taylor said he considered this man as a grandfather of the work of the China Inland Mission.
Right.
So these brothers really inspired him and influenced him. And he also heard of, during this time, George Mueller. Of course, we covered him previously, one who was really given to the work of the orphanage. But we also recall that George Mueller richly gave to the efforts of these brothers out in the field, the work of the gospel. So these all helped to form Hudson Taylor and prepare him for the good work that he would eventually do in China.
And, of course, Hudson Taylor, you know, no doubt was considering how he could do that great work to go to China, but obviously he did not want to go there alone. And of course, he fell in love with this one sister. But at a particular time, this sister said to him at one point, "Do you have to go to China? How much nicer it would be to stay here," of course, here being in England, "there and serve the Lord at home." And this really, of course, weighed upon him, because he realized, that from the time of being, as I mentioned, 5 years of age, his heart was set, on going to the mission field in China. Now he's got a dilemma. He's got to face the prospect of an unwilling bride, how to handle her. You know, that he wants to go there and she's not willing to go there. Mm-hmm. And this, he thought to himself that, it's just not reasonable that she would be willing to go and starve in a foreign land. So he realized he had nothing to promise to her of any kind of good life. He knew it would be difficult, but he had to find one that would match him.
Right.
He had some, no doubt, some conversations with his, his close younger sister that about her, that to go without this sister, without her, it would make the world a blank.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot, bring her to, to force her to do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So he realized this was becoming a distraction to him.
Right.
But on the other hand, it also caused him to have many considerations and dealings with the Lord.
I think the Lord really tried him during this time and caused him to really to consider what was the meaning of his life and the purpose of his service. So she realized she couldn't alter the purpose of his heart.
Yeah.
And he realized that she was really, eventually he realized she was not willing to go, and nor would her father allow her to go.
Yeah.
With him to China. So eventually she called it off. And
right.
This was a real great blow to Hudson, mm-hmm. but a little bit of a challenge to his faith. But I really appreciated reading his account, how eventually the Lord really melted his heart.
Yeah.
And he kept assembling with the believers, and the Lord revealed himself to him in a very fresh way after this experience as his very present help in time of trouble.
Hmm.
So he said he began to thank the Lord even for these painful experiences and just begin to trust the Lord for his future. He had no idea what was to come or how his marriage would work out. But he began to proclaim, he said, Oh Lord, how happy should we be if we would cast our care on thee.
Mm-hmm.
So that was his little expression that he had in his experience in this way. So passing through these trying experiences, Hudson Taylor eventually just went forward with a renewed heart. And he was, you have to say, he was full of resolve. And this actually helped him become more clear what was
right.
He going to do in the days to come. So anyway, Bill, this is the beginning of our account of Hudson Taylor. I think we'll probably have a few more sessions on him, but he is really a key brother in the Lord's work in China. And I think, as you mentioned, of course, the 19th century was the century of missions, but we know that
right.
the 20th century was much more to come in the Lord's work of recovery through our brothers Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. But
right.
the Lord did use these missionary brothers in a initial way to bring the gospel, bring the Lord's name, and bring the Bible into China.
Right. Very good, Marty.
Okay, Bill, we'll stop here. Appreciate the time together.